Father, we thank you that you are the God who hears the cries of your people. We're thankful that you do not turn a deaf ear to us, but that you hear us when we cry out to you for mercy, when we lift up our hands toward your most holy place. You hear us. And we praise you because you have heard our cry for mercy. We declare that you are our strength, that you are our shield. Our hearts trust in you, therefore we are helped. Our hearts leap for joy, and we will give thanks to you in song and in praise. And as we are gathered here today, we beseech you, speak into our experiences, speak into our needs, speak, for your words have power. And your spoken word never returns empty or void, but it always accomplishes the purposes for which you have sent it. So we invite you, speak. Our hearts are ready to receive. And the deposit that is made, we're confident will yield a crop that is 30, 60, or 100-fold. Thank you for being a faithful God in whom we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of Luke? We have been working through the book of Luke slowly and hitting some critical areas and points. Last week, I introduced you to parables because in Luke, there are, what did I share with you? At least 28 parables that Luke uses to convey the truths of God. The idea of putting off last week, putting off the old and embracing the new. Getting rid of that old way of thinking, getting rid of that old way of living, getting rid of the old way in which you see Jesus so that you can embrace the new perspective, the new view that comes by living, walking and living in a dynamic relationship with God. Because if you're living in a dynamic relationship with God, you are never the same today that you were on yesterday. That is why you and I cannot receive one another nor approach one another like we know one another oh so well. Don't hang on me the coat of yesterday because he has dressed me in new clothes. Amen. And so you and I have to be ready to receive one another, recognize what God is doing, and then celebrate the goodness of what he has done in an individual's life. They are no longer who they used to be. Sometimes the process is slow. Amen? But you and I know that when it happens quick. There's something that has been developing, moving slowly, and then suddenly it is manifest. And wow, you can't believe what God has been doing. But instead of doubting, you and I need to celebrate because as we embrace the new and put off the old, God brings about change and he brings about growth and he brings about transformation in our lives. Jesus said, in order for you to experience the full benefit of that, he said, stop trying to hold on to old traditions when he's trying to give you something new. Amen. It's almost like putting your hand in a jar to get out some goodies. But you know, the mouth of the jar is only big enough for you to let go of whatever is in the jar to get it back out. Right? In order for you to get your hand out, you've got to let go of whatever was in there that you thought you wanted in order to be free. Amen? Now, you can hold on to it if you want to. You've seen that commercial where the guy is walking around. Maybe you've seen that commercial. It's a crazy commercial. I can't even remember which one it was. He's walking around. Thank you. You've seen that commercial, right? He's walking around with the Pringles box on his hand. What God is saying to you and me, let go. Let go of the old stuff, because what he wants to give you is much, much better. The new stuff is going to be much, much better. So let go of the old, embrace the new, and receive what he wants to do more. Parables, if you remember, they were stories that were used that gave instructions, they gave a principle. They sometimes use things from nature or life experiences to convey this truth. Luke illustrates, because Jesus did it often, that he taught with parables. And so Luke, in his writing, uses many, many parables to convey these truths. In chapter 8 is yet another parable that Luke presents to help us grasp an incredible truth that is of value to you and me. Luke chapter 8, he talks about the parable of the sower. It's a parable that describes different types of soil and their response to the seed that is planted in them. Luke uses this parable to help you and I understand the value and the power of God's word. And then also to help us understand, as Jesus taught, how we can maximize the benefit of God's word. We're going to look at this parable, and then we're going to go back to Luke chapter 6, where Jesus gives another principle. It's not referred to as a parable, but it has the likeness of a parable to convey yet this truth. And so as we look at Luke 8 and Luke 6, here's the thought that you and I are going to have in mind. Hear and apply. Hear God's word and apply it. Okay? That's the principle that we are looking at. Here's what's happening. Jesus is preparing his disciples to inherit a kingdom. It is a kingdom that is not of this world. And so he is teaching them principles, are the principles of this invisible or hidden kingdom. Because in order for them to reap the benefits of the kingdom, they must operate by the principles of the kingdom. Hence, they need to hear the principle of the kingdom. But then in order to reap the benefit, they must apply the principle of the kingdom. And Jesus speaks in parables because not everybody is going to receive the principle. Not everybody who hears Jesus speak is actually a part of the kingdom. And he says, then for those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, I got something for you. And you've got to dig just a little bit deeper to get it. Amen. So let's read what the parable says, beginning with verse number 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, and when they grew up, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he had said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so we've got four different types of soil that the seed was being sown on, right? First, there was what? The path. The seed was scattered along the path. That seed was trampled on. And also, the birds came and ate it up. So that seed became food for the birds. Then it was rocky soil, for it says some seed fell on rock. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. So you have hard, rocky soil that is not able to contain moisture, so that what is planted there is not able to live, because you know that plants need what? Moisture or water. Then he talks about another seed that happened to fall among thorns. And he says that this seed fell among thorns, and as the plants were growing, the thorns were also growing, and that they choked the plants. So the thorns actually choked the life out of the plants. So he's got one more type of soil that Jesus talks about, and it is actually what he describes as good soil, that says that when the seed itself falls upon this soil, it's going to grow up and it's going to produce a crop, he says, 100 times what is sown. That's going to be a good yield. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. So again, hear and apply. Let him hear. Here's what happens. Look at verse number 9. His disciples ask him, what did this parable mean? So it's a beautiful, the parable is beautiful, right? Jesus is breaking some stuff down. He's teaching them, dropping some knowledge. It is almost like after Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. He dropped the mic. Walked away. And the disciples say, why he dropped the mic? It's like they missed the punchline, right? What does all of this mean, Jesus? And that's exactly what they said. What does this mean? Remember, because Jesus spoke in parables. I gave you last week Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15, that Jesus described why he spoke in parables. It's going to be reiterated here in verse number 10. And this is important for you and for me, because we need to understand that you and I, it is a blessing to be able to open up the Word of God and understand the revelation of His truth. We sometimes take it for granted that what we understand, what God is saying, we take that for granted. He said, no, don't take that for granted. That's a blessing that you have been given insight. You've been given eyes that can see and ears that can hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because not everyone has that benefit. And so he says, I speak to them in parables. Let's read verse 10. It says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And they're like, well, wait a minute. We didn't get that. You like, the knowledge of the secrets have been given to us. We missed it. He says, but to others, I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. So God hides his truth for his children and he keeps it safe. Now, if you didn't write that down, you need to write that down. Amen. God hides, he hides his truth for who? His children. And then he keeps it safe. Not everybody, again, not everybody can get the truth that he is presenting. But he wants you and I to have it. Why? Because Jesus is teaching his disciples the principles of the kingdom. Because you need to know the principles of the kingdom to reap the benefits of the kingdom. Because when you are operating with the benefits or the principles of the kingdom, you're going to get the things of the kingdom that the kingdom has to offer even while you are here. But if you're not operating by the principles of the kingdom, don't expect to receive the things of the kingdom. You're going to get the things of this world. And you're going to keep coming up short wondering why this thing ain't working for me. And he said, don't be trying to mix the principles of the kingdom with the principles of the world. Because if you mix the principles of the kingdom with the principles of the world, you dilute the power of the kingdom, because he says they were not intended to work together. You need to work and operate by the principles of the kingdom. He says, so I'm giving you the principles. So even though it is in an unseen world, you know how to operate in this invisible realm and receive the power that is available. Remember, Luke starts off talking about Jesus' ministry, saying that he was what? Full of the Holy Spirit. And he went into the wilderness and he was tested. It was by the power of the Spirit that he overcame. He was able to fast. He was able to withstand the attack of the enemy. And he came back. And it says when he came back, he was in the power of the Spirit of the living God. And everything that Jesus did it by the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus, who is fully God and also fully man, operates in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Jesus, who is full deity, does not dare move into his ministry without being anointed by the Spirit of God. He's helping you and I know that you and I should not dare try and to live out our lives in our own strength and power, but we need to be anointed by the Spirit of the living God. If you're going to be a good wife, you need to be anointed. By the Spirit of the living God. If you're going to be a good husband that can cover your wife, you need to be anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. If you're going to be a good mama, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're going to be a good daddy, yes, sir, you've got to walk in the anointing. In other words, you got to know, in order for you to carry out your function, you can't do it in your own strength or wisdom. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to be at work in your life. You need to understand that you have both kingdom purpose, and in order for you to fill your kingdom purpose, God gives you kingdom power to do it. And that kingdom power is called the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why he got to be your friend. That's why you can't walk around being offended by the Holy Ghost. Even if the Spirit make you do something you wasn't expecting to do, you can't be all offended. You can't be. You need to learn how to say, I wasn't expecting that, but I appreciate you anyway. Because he's going to come and reveal to you and empower you to do what you could not do. And if you resist him, right, because it is by choice, he shows up where he is welcome. He operates where he is welcome. If you resist him, you miss out on the opportunity to experience what he wanted to do in you and through you. And when you miss out, that means somebody else misses out. Amen. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that, listen, what you see me doing, you're going to be able to do. Remember, the book of Luke talks about how the Holy Spirit was working in Jesus, the Son of God. And then Luke also writes the book of Acts, which talks about now how the Holy Spirit is working in the disciples of Jesus Christ, those who have put their hope and trust in him. So what we see going on in Jesus' life, he said that should be manifest in his followers. So you've got to be applying those same principles in order to get there. Well, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant by these types of soil, so they asked him what he meant. And because he said that they had the secrets of the kingdom of God, the reason they have the secrets of the kingdom of God is because they are connected to the source who then reveals to them the truth. So in the same way that Jesus is going to reveal to them the truth about this parable is how the Spirit of God works in our lives, revealing to us truth. He says that you've got to do the same thing. Ask. Amen. When you hit that place where you don't understand, just ask. Because if you're asking, that means that you are hungry for it and you want to know. He says that he's not going to withhold any good thing from you, but he is willing to reveal to you that truth so that you can operate in it. And so in verse number 11, Jesus says this is the meaning of the parable. First of all, he tells us what the seed is. The seed is what? Wait a minute, say it again. The word of God. Amen. That was a response. Amen. Amen. I know you wanted to be quiet and say, well, I think Pastor might be good. No, I wasn't going to say the seed is what. The seed is the word of God. So he says the word of God then is being spread abroad. That's the word of God being spread abroad. And then he describes who those along the path are, right? So you remember the first one was the seed, the word of God fell along the path. And now he's going to give us some description around that. He said, these are those who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Wow. You mean that a person can hear the word of God, and before it has an opportunity to take root, the devil will swoop in and intercept it, steal it, take it away, so that what they have heard does not take root, does not settle in, or they don't even retain it, right? Because it's taken away. So he describes the first event that can happen when the word of God is sown or spread. And he says, he adds to it, so that they may not believe and be saved. And so you have the devil who is interfering with the salvation of people. You may be doing a good job of sowing the word, but the devil is trying to keep folks from being saved. You may be wondering why that word that I declared so clearly was not received. It could be because every time you threw the pass, it was intercepted by the devil. By the way, it has nothing to do with you and your sowing ability. Amen? Because if anybody could sow the word perfectly, it was Jesus. And we see throughout this discourse that Jesus sows the word and there are those who won't receive it. Even to the point of one of those who followed him closely ended up betraying him. And so it's not always that there's a problem with the farmer or a problem with the sower or a problem with you as you are sowing the word. It is that this is a spiritual thing where you need to understand that there are invisible resources that are out there, invisible enemies that are out there trying to prevent what God wants to happen in an individual's life. Your job is to continue to sow and to sow well and to sow clearly, but understand there are some other dynamics that you need to be concerned about as well with regard to the receiver. Amen. So that was the first soil, the one that fell along the path. He said, these who hear the word, the devil comes and he takes it away. They may not be saved. May not believe and be saved. Verse 13, he says, those on the rock, so that was the second, are ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So now he describes ones that will hear and receive the word. They'll receive it with joy, and it's going to be there for a while. But he said it has no root. There has been no growth. There has been no cultivating of the word. They just received it, and they were happy about the word. Sometimes it is because of misinterpretation, because he says, when the time of testing comes, they fall away. Which says that you and I need to be aware that there are times of testing. Not times of tempting, but times of testing. Testing to see the veracity of that particular fruit or word that has grown up. And if you've got root, you'll be able to endure, as this describes, the testing. But he says, these are those who get happy on Sunday and Tuesday forget what they heard. These are those who, and dare it not be us, who praised on Sunday. But then when a little testing come later in the week, instead of praising, I'm busy complaining. I done forgot that I was declaring he's more than enough. I forget that he is Jehovah Jireh. I forget he's the lily of the valley. Amen. That's in the time where things get difficult, I fall away and don't believe what it is that I've been declaring because my praise is not rooted or my truth is not rooted or that word is not rooted. Real quickly, here's one way you get your word rooted in your heart, okay? This is an important principle. It's called meditation. Amen? You hear the word, you meditate on it, you ruminate on it until it becomes rooted in your heart. What the Bible teaches is that out of the heart comes the issues of life, right? What's in your heart when you are squeezed, that's what's going to come out. And so what you do is you get the word and you allow that word to become rooted in your heart because you are, when I say the word meditating, you're rehearsing the word over and over in your mind and in your heart, and you've got it on your lips. You're practicing it. And then you allow the Spirit of God to help you in those places where you are struggling with that particular principle, concept, or word. You allow God to give you clarity so that all the other stuff is pushed out of the way and that word becomes settled in your heart. No matter what you see, you're not moved by what you see because of the word that's in your heart. No matter what you hear, you're not moved by what you hear because of the word that you have been meditating on has become settled in your heart. That helps it to become rooted in your heart. Amen. So he's saying, don't just hear the word, be happy, rejoice over it. But he's also saying, meditate on it and let it settle there so that you can get roots. That'll keep you from falling away when the testing comes. And then he said, the seed that fell among thorns, stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. So these are folks who hear the word, but their growth is stunted. And their growth is stunted because the worries of life, the pleasures of this life, choke out the true meaning and value and power of the word. So almost you're trying to mix what the word has said with the stuff of this life. He says as a result of that, it becomes stunted. And while it's there, it's not living, it's not breathing, the life is being choked out of it. So he says, in essence, you've got to learn, we've got to learn how to put the pleasures of this life, the worries of this life, the riches of this life in their proper place. Amen? He doesn't condemn the pleasures of this life, does he? In fact, he says to you and I that we shouldn't worry. Worry should never consume us. He says that when worry starts to consume you, he says you need to don't worry about anything, but what you need to pray about everything. Amen. He says that, and he reminds us over in Matthew chapter 6 that worry never ever adds anything to your life. Worrying about it never brings a solution. Amen. Says what worry does, worry produces stress and anxiety in your life. And if you're busy worrying, you can't practice faith. Amen. Jesus acknowledges that worry will come. But he says, when it comes, don't be consumed by it. Put it in its proper place. Bring everything that you are worried about to the one who is able to do something about it and let him give you the right attitude toward the thing that worries you. That's presented to him in prayer and trusting him that he's got you covered. Amen. In fact, when he deals with riches and pleasures, he's talked about how the lilies of the valley are clothed beautifully, but they pale in comparison to how he wants to clothe you and me. He talks about how the birds have enough food to eat, but their diet pales in comparison to the diet he has for you and me. He says that I want to provide adequately for you. And he says to you and me, he said all of these things that if you put first his kingdom and his righteousness, he says, if you start chasing after those things, all this other stuff, he says, that he has for you will be added to you. So he's talking about put it all in perspective where you keep the kingdom first and everything else becomes secondary. But then he mentions the fourth seed, which says that it is the seed on good soil. And it stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So first you hear, and then you apply. You hear it, you retain it, you persevere, you apply. It is in hearing the word and applying it that you get to the place of where you produce a good crop. This is where we go back to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Because in this parable in Luke 8, Jesus describes how folks are going to respond to the word. In Luke 6, he tells us the significance of having a right response to the word. In verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Huh. So one response to the word is disobedience, isn't it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? If you ain't doing what I'm saying, you're being disobedient. And if you're being disobedient, don't call me Lord, because I ain't your Lord. Because if I was your Lord, you would do what I was saying, right? And if you're busy trying to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about and you're not willing to do what I tell you to do, you're not going to receive what I wanted to give you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you ain't doing what I say? He says, stop it. Stop it. Thank you for that amen, Jameer. And then he says this in verse 47. I will show you what it is like when he who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. There it is, verse 47. Who hears my words and puts them into a practice. To apply means to put it into practice. To hear the word and then put it into practice. He said, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Then he's got that but word in there. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So in verse 47, Jesus talks about taking the word. He said, I'm going to show you what it's like for the person who hears my word and puts it into practice. So hearing the words of Jesus and putting them into practice makes you a solid, strong, stable, and steady person that is capable of enduring and weathering the storms that will come as a result of living in a dying world. Won't it? In this life, you're going to have what? Trouble. But he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. But he says he has overcome it by the power of his word. And in order for you to be an overcomer, in order for you to be victorious, then what you must be doing is hearing and applying his word in every area, every facet, every aspect of your life so that what he wants to produce in your life will come to pass. But it's only when you hear and apply. When you hear and put it into practice. When you hear and when you do it. Amen. When you hear God's word and put it into practice, what you're doing is you're going to have a belief system or a mindset that enables you to endure. You're going to have a philosophy of life that helps you understand that trouble don't last always. You're going to have a philosophy of life that helps you understand that just because trouble has come your way does not mean that you've done something wrong. You're going to have a philosophy of life that helps you understand that when trouble comes your way, God is waiting to deliver you and fight on your behalf. And so you're going to be watching, you're going to be standing, and you're going to be waiting for his deliverance to come. It's going to help you have a character that responds instead of reacting. I got excited about that part. Because the problem with so many people right now is they're too busy reacting. Something happens and they start reacting like they have no control. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Then he says one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? Self-control. So that means that when stuff is happening in your life, happening to you, that you can't explain, you don't react, you respond. Yeah, that's the difference between reacting and responding. Yeah. Because when you react, you all out of control. You make a mess of yourself and a mockery of the name of Jesus. But when you respond with this belief and philosophy of life that has been developed because you have been hearing the word of God and applying it in your life, it takes and it puts everything in perfect balance. No, it doesn't mean that I have all the answers, but wait a minute, I know the one who does. Wait for it. Wait for it. No, I don't jump too quick because I'm waiting. If he hadn't told me to move, I got to sit here and wait for it. That's what response looks like. You know what? You've you've seen those sales where they tell you one more remaining. You need to buy right now, but the Lord ain't told you to buy. But you scared that if you don't buy, you're going to miss a good deal. Please. 90% marked off. You marked it up too high in the first place. Talk. But it's when you and I start to understand that he has equipped us with his spirit to be vehicles and vessels, to be instruments, to represent him well, where we live, in our spheres of influence. It changes the way we move, what we do, and how we operate. When you and I know that we've been called to be the voice that others can hear, that in the midst of troubles, we still say, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise will continually be in my mouth. The afflicted will hear and rejoice. It changes the way you go through your experience. Amen. Because you know that you have been called to experience the power of the kingdom of God, to live in purpose of the kingdom of God. And so you stay focused on the kingdom of God. That it's less about you and more about him. Amen. It's when you're hearing and applying the word of God, he produces in you something that makes you a sweet aroma to those that he is drawing to himself, and who makes the enemy, your demons, the demons that are pursuing you and others, makes them quake at the fact that you showing up in the vicinity. Oh, I think that's where I want to be. I think I want to be one of them kind that when I show up, if there was some trouble happening in your house, that the doors begin to rattle because bruh man just showed up. And wait, the only way I can do that is that I remember that wherever I go, that Jesus is with me and that I'm carrying forth the message and the purposes of Jesus. So when I show up, I've got to be talking Jesus. Uh-oh. It changes the way I speak. Uh-huh. Yeah. When I show up, I got to be praising and giving thanks to the Lord. Uh-huh. It changes some stuff. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. That's where my greeting, I don't do it as much, but you used to hear it all the time. You would ask me how I was doing it. I would say, I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored, chosen by God and empowered by his spirit to be conformed to the image of his son. So that. See, in the greeting was steeped a whole lot of stuff that kept reminding me of who I was. And if you were receiving a greeting, it's going to remind you of who I am too. Because a lot of stuff that was going to be said by the time that greeting is out, you ain't going to say it no more. Oh, it's true. You ain't going to say it no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a shifting. It was a shifting. And so it's like you've got to make sure that your speech is right, your walk is right, your heart is right, because you're walking in the authority of God. Amen. And you're going as a representative of the kingdom, so that wherever you show up, the power of the kingdom should come to bear. That means that you and I got to get some of them doubts out of our minds and out of our hearts. Do you not know who you are? That's right. And whose you are. You are a child of the King, a representative of heaven. And when you go to wherever it is he's taking you, you always go with the backing of heaven behind you. So you need not shrink back. You need not be afraid, but you need to go in the boldness that allows the power of God to be manifest in every experience in which you and I encounter. We need to hear his word. We need to put it into practice. And when we do that, we'll be stable, strong, able to stand when the troubles of life come. And the word will produce a crop. It's 100 times what was sown, which means that he's going to keep producing over and over and over and over again. You never have to worry about it running out. Amen. 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 Will you bow your heads with me? I described to you where I wanted to be on the spectrum. The person who walks in the power, the anointing of God, and that brings the presence of the kingdom of God wherever I go. It is my hope that you desire to be there as well. And it begins with response to God's word. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So I would ask that you would take a moment and ask of the Spirit of God to reveal and show to you any area that requires correction in your life. Is there something that he has told you to do that you are not doing? Has he told you to extend forgiveness to someone and you have decided that that person does not need to receive your forgiveness? Walk in obedience. Has he called you to serve in a specific area or do a certain thing and you keep telling him to wait? Timing just ain't right. I want to remind you that slow obedience is disobedience. Ask the Spirit of the living God to help you to walk in obedience, because that is what he honors. That's what he responds to. Ask him to help you to hear his words clearly, and then to apply them, put them into practice in your life. It could be something extremely personal that God is calling you to do. I've shared it with you before, so I can share it with you again. The Spirit of God told Sister Manita to stop eating beef because it had to do with the health of her body. It wasn't anybody else that he was talking to. He was talking to her. Proclamation is made. I offer to you my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto you. Lord, I'm yours. Well, when he gives you instructions on what to do, you need to walk in obedience. And so ask him to help you hear with clarity so that you can put what he has said into practice and walk in obedience.